And someday every one of us will be a sermon. I apologize, I had that off. Hope you could hear me. Death is no respecter of persons. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. Doesn't matter if you're somebody in the eyes of the world or if you're a nobody in the eyes of the world. Death is the ultimate enemy, and it comes for all. There's nothing that we can do to stop death. Men fear death, but the gospel message, the message of Jesus Christ, is a message of victory over death. Amen? There's victory over death. Christ died on the cross for our sins. He was buried and He rose again the third day, all according to the Scriptures. Our Lord has defeated death.
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. And for those who have placed their faith in Christ as Savior and Lord, we too have victory over death. Death is not the end. Death is not the demise of those who are in Christ. We too will rise. Just as He lives, we too shall live if we be in Christ. We have the assured hope and we have the glorious promise of a bodily resurrection. We will live with Him forever and ever in a body made fit for eternity. We too will rise. Jesus said in John 11, verse 25 and 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, though he may die, he shall live. And he who lives and believes in Me shall never die. Never die. This is the message of the gospel. This is the message of the church in this world. This is the message of Christ, a message of victory over death. Christ has risen from the dead, and all who are in Him will rise. And that is the message of this passage of Scripture, the victory of the resurrection. The victory of the resurrection. Let's look at it. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning down there in verse 50. Notice it with me. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray again. Father, as we open up this passage of Scripture, we ask you, O God, to open up your word by the power of your Holy Spirit. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, and God, take the word into our heart and let it move us as only you can through the power of your Spirit. Oh God, may it be the sharp sword that pierces us, the hammer that knocks everything out of us and off of us, God, that's in your way. May it be the fire that purifies us, God, consumes everything up that's not of you and leaves us pure and holy as we ought to be. God, I pray that you would save any who are here among us, God, that are lost, that the word would pierce them through and reveal to them their sin and their need for Christ, and that He is their only hope, and bring to them that fire, that desire, God, that running to Christ in repentance and faith that only you can bring. And may they respond in true repentance and faith, believing, O God, in Christ alone. I pray for your church, for each of us, God, who know you, that you would build us up in the faith, and that this message would be our great joy and our foundation upon which we stand, and a fire in our hearts that we take to a lost and dying world. And so, God, help us. We need you. We look to you. In Christ's name, amen. Well, there are three things that I want us to see as we look at these verses this morning, thinking about the victory of the resurrection. The first one is this: the necessity of the resurrection. The resurrection is a necessity. You see it there in verse 50 through 53, but notice first off just verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Now that is a powerful truth. And this verse speaks to us of the necessity of the resurrection. If we are going to inherit the kingdom of God, and we absolutely will if we are in Christ, if we're born again, if we are one of His, we will inherit the kingdom of God. Amen? That is the promise of God to us. We will be in that eternal kingdom. We will be with Him. He will be with us. That is our great hope. That is our assured promise. And in order for that to be so, there must be a resurrection. There must be a bodily resurrection where we are literally raised from the dead and our bodies are transformed and they are changed and they are made new and they are made fit to live with God in His holiness in eternal glory forever and ever, the necessity of the resurrection. Now you notice here that Paul is unleashing truth after truth, but notice he says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. What is it? What is the kingdom of God? The Bible speaks of the kingdom of God in a threefold reality. First of all, the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Jesus said, it's here right now. It's within you. It's among you. He came preaching the kingdom of God. And when He came, that kingdom was unleashed. What is the kingdom? It is God's rule and reign. It is God and the gospel of Christ going across the world and snatching out souls and putting those souls in the kingdom, sealing those souls as children of God, filling them with the Holy Spirit, sealing them with the Holy Spirit, the rule of Christ in them, them serving Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, advancing God's kingdom, advancing the gospel of Christ. It is the church doing the work of Christ in this world. That's the kingdom of God. It's here right now. It's within us. It's advancing through us. But also, it is a physical kingdom. It is a kingdom that the Bible talks that when Jesus Christ comes and He comes down to this earth, He will sit down upon the throne of His glory and He will rule with a rod of iron. And He will rule this world, the kingdoms of this world, for 1,000 years. And all those who are His will rule and reign with Him right here on this earth. 1,000-year reign of Christ. And He will be king. But then the Bible talks about the kingdom of God as an eternal kingdom. The eternal kingdom, when at the end of that 1,000-year reign, there is a great judgment. And those who are not Christ and are not found in Him, are not born again, they will be thrust into an eternal hell. But all of those who are in Christ, who have reigned with Him in that 1,000-year reign, they will all be ushered in into a brand new heavens and a brand new earth in which righteousness dwells. And God will be with us and we will be with Him. And there will be no more death and no more pain and no more sorrow. The former things will have passed away. All things will have been made new. And that's what we long for, don't we? Tired of the corruption of this world, tired of death, tired of sorrow and pain and suffering. One day it'll all be gone and we will be with Him. And that's the eternal kingdom. And so the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom here now, advancing through the people of God in the power of His Spirit. It's a physical kingdom coming at the return of Christ, and it is an eternal kingdom at the end of that reign of Christ for all those who are in Him. And of that eternal kingdom there'll be no end. And it is this eternal kingdom that's being spoken of here. It's talking about the kingdom of God that Christ will bring when this sinful, fallen world will be done away with forever. And those who have rejected Christ will be condemned to hell. But all those who are in Christ will be ushered into that eternal kingdom of God where we will be with Him and He with us forever and ever. That day comes. Amen. That day is coming. The old hymn says, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saints of God are gathered over on the other shore, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. That day comes. But I want you to take note of this truth. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It's impossible. These earthly bodies that we live in here and now, they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These bodies, flesh and blood, earthly bodies, they must be put off in order for that day to come and the saints of God to enter into that eternal kingdom. We must be changed. We must be transformed. And so God unveils to us a mystery. Verse 51, He says, behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And we see here a mystery that is now revealed. A mystery in the Scripture is a truth that was previously hidden that now God has revealed in the New Testament to His church. It was once unknown and now it's revealed and it is made known. And the mystery here that was hidden answers for us this question. Specifically, it answers, what about those that when Christ comes and that trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ are raised and were changed, what about those who are still alive? If the dead are resurrected, what about those who haven't died and they're alive when Christ comes? What about them? And that would be us if the Lord came right now. Amen? Well, He says, we shall not all sleep. And we've seen that word many times. That word in Scripture, when speaking of a believer, is speaking of death. We shall not all die. The Bible speaks of it as sleep because when a true believer dies, their spirit goes to be with the Lord. The real person is not the body of flesh. It's the internal soul. And the soul, for a believer, at the moment of death, goes to be with Christ in eternal glory. But the body is laid in the grave, right? Why does it not call death in Scripture? Because it's just there temporary. Now, they're not sleeping there. That soul is not in the grave, in that body, sleeping. That soul is in the presence of Almighty God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But that fleshly body is just there resting according to God because He's going to bring it up. He's bringing that body up. But what about those who are alive? Those who haven't died, their spirit isn't with the Lord. They're alive when the Lord Jesus comes. They're still in the body of flesh. What about them? We shall not all die, but notice, we shall all be changed. But we shall all be changed. Some will have already died when that trumpet sounds and Jesus comes. Some will have already gone to be with the Lord, and their soul will be coming back with Jesus Christ. They're with Him now. When He returns, they're coming with Him, but their body's in the grave, right? And we know, we're going to see that the dead in Christ, they're going to raise first. The body's coming up. And I mean, in a moment, we're going to see it, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that body, that soul will be put back together and transformed. What about us? If we're alive when Christ comes, any who are alive and remain, well, we too will be changed. We will be changed. When He comes, rather, we have already gone to be with the Lord and our bodies in the grave, but we're with Christ in glory, or rather we're alive and remain when He comes. Either way, we're all going to be changed. We're going to be changed if we be in Christ. The word change itself is speaking of a transforming of the very nature of something, the very form and essence of a thing. We're going to be transformed. We're going to be made new completely. And the change, notice, it happens instantaneously. Verse 52, in a moment. in the twinkling of an eye. The word for moment in the Greek language means the shortest possible amount of time. A matter of fact, the root of the word means something that cannot be divided. You can't cut it in half. It can't be divided. So it's so small an amount of time, you can't even give it a definition. It can't be defined. It can't be cut. It can't be divided. It's so fast. And then this twinkling of an eye, it speaks to the same thing. It's not referring to a blink of an eye, but the slightest twitch. I mean, our eyes can focus from one thing to the next, and I mean less than a split second. And that slightest twitch, even less than that, is what we're talking about. And so the resurrection and the transformation and change that will come to those who are in Christ, it will not be a process. It will not take days. It will not take hours. It will not take minutes. It will not take seconds. It will not even take a millisecond. You can't divide it. It's going to happen so fast. It's going to happen before you can even twinkle your eye. It's going to be done. And so there is a transformation coming for those who are in Christ, those who are saved, those who have been born again, a transformation for those who have bowed their life, their knee to the feet of Jesus as Savior, Lord, God, and King. We will not remain as we are now. Boy, isn't that glorious? We're not going to always be as we are now. We will be changed. We will be transformed. And I'm not going to go into all that. That's a whole nother message. And that is the preceding verses, to some degree, verse 35 through 49, talk about the change that will happen to the body. But that's a whole nother sermon. Don't look at that now. Look at that later. I see some of you starting to look. And if you would, please. But notice when. When is the change going to happen? Verse 52, at the last trumpet. At the last trumpet. What does that mean? The last trumpet. The final call. The final summonsing. Now, the trumpet in Scripture was used to assemble the people. We see that all throughout the Scripture. In the Old Testament days, they had a ram's horn. Big, knurled ram's horn. And the Levites had control of the instruments and the trumpets. The worship of the people of God. That's what they did. That was their ministry there. They led the worship. They played the instruments. They sung the songs as the priest, as they were making the sacrifices, as they were shedding the blood, and I mean countless thousands of sacrifices being made, just one after another. And as all that was going on, the Levites would be there, and they would be praising God and singing with loud voices as all of this was going on. And there's a time coming when there's going to be a trumpet sound. That trumpet in Scripture would call the people to the assembly. They would call the people to worship by blowing the trumpet, and the people would come in and they would gather there at the tabernacle. They would gather there at the temple. There is also a trumpet sound, a certain note, when there was an alarm, when there was an army coming, an enemy on the horizon, they would sound a note and the people would gather, they would run, they would grab their shields, they would grab their swords, they would prepare for battle. And so the trumpet is a summonsing. It is a calling forth. That's what it is. And we see this here. There's a summonsing of the people of God, and it is the last trumpet. It is the final call. It is the end of time, and it is the beginning of eternity for those who are in Christ. And it speaks of the coming of Christ to gather His own. The trumpet that sounds when Christ gathers His own. 1 Thessalonians 4. I'll just read verse 16 and 17. It's the same event. Notice it. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout. There's going to be a shout that rings out. Notice, the voice of an archangel will ring out in heaven. And with the trumpet of God, that trumpet is going to sound, that final call. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. That's what's going to happen. Jesus is going to appear in blazing glory. There's going to be a voice of an archangel cry out, and the trumpet of God is going to sound, and that summons will go forth, and all who are in Christ will hear, and the dead are coming up out of the graves. They're coming back with Jesus, but their body's coming up, and then all of us who remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. You see the same thing over in Matthew 24, verse 29. We see this appearing and the glory and the coming and the gathering and the trumpet and the voice. Notice it in Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light, meaning reflect the light of the sun. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And so when He comes, God's going to set the stage and He's going to shut out the lights. It's going to get dark. Why? Because Christ is going to fill up the sky with His blazing glory. Verse 30, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. What is the sign? It is His glory. It is Him coming back in blazing glory. It is Jesus Himself appearing. He will so come in like manner as He went up. The apostles were told. Verse 30, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and He will send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And so there's that trumpet call. There's the appearing of Christ, and there's the gathering of those who are His, that last trumpet, that final call being unleashed. And so you come back here to this passage, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we, speaking of we who are alive and remain, shall be changed. And so that trumpet is going to sound. Those who have already gone on to be with Christ, they'll be coming back with Him, their soul, their body's going to come up in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, be reunited with their soul, transformed, and all of us who are alive and remain transformed as well, to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, to be gathered to Him in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's of absolute necessity. We shall be changed. Verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. Notice the word must. It must happen. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This has to happen. We must put on incorruption. We must put on immortality. This is of absolute necessity. In order for us to enter into the kingdom of God, we must be changed. Now, this corruptible must put on incorruption. The word corruptible speaks of the degeneration of man's body that is subject to sin and the curse. Now, we know that, most of us, because the older we get, the more we feel that degeneration of our body. The more we begin to hurt, the more we begin to age, the more we get to be, you know, gray-headed. I waved to a guy the other day. I don't know if I was getting the mail or the trash can or what at the end of the driveway, and I hadn't seen him in a long time, and he's coming by, and I gave him a wave. Within a few minutes, I had a phone call, and he said, "Hey, when'd you get that much white hair?" He said, "I hadn't seen you in a while." I said, "Oh, I've had it for a while now." Yeah, I've had that, but it was news to him. He hadn't seen me in a while. But we get that, don't we? We age. The body is under that curse. And the body, the Scripture says, is perishing. The body is dying. It's corruptible. And so this body that is subject to the curse and disease and sin and sickness, it has to be put off. And then notice, this mortal must put on immortality. This mortal, this body that will die, this body that is subject to death, it must put off death. It must put on a body that can no longer die, made fit for eternity. It must be changed, made ready for Christ and His glory in eternity. It must happen. It must happen. The necessity of it. Can you imagine that day? Can you imagine that day when that trumpet rings out and all who are in Christ hear that? And I mean in a moment before we can even have a thought about it, we are changed and we have met the Lord in the air and we are transformed. That day is coming. That day is coming. It must happen. it must happen. Verse 49, or verse 42 and 43 back there says, the body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. Verse 49 says, we will bear the image of Christ, the heavenly man. And so we're going to be changed. And it has to happen. There's no entering into that eternal kingdom without a body made fit for the eternal kingdom. And so it must happen. So we need to know this. And this is our hope, is it not? This is our foundation. This is our rock solid assurance and promise of God. This is our joy. This is where we rest. This is our unshakable foundation. Our Lord has died for us. He's coming again. These things will happen. The kingdoms of this world, they won't last. America will not always be. China, Russia, the nations that rage against themselves, God looks down and He laughs. Man trying to raise up in power, man trying to have control, man trying to do what he wants to do, God laughs. What God says will happen, what God says and has planned and decreed will take place. The only thing that's going to last for all eternity is the kingdom of God. Everything else, ashes. And we are either a part of that kingdom or we're not a part of that kingdom. We're either a true child of God, washed in the blood of Christ, born again by His power, and dwelt with the Holy Spirit, having the gift of everlasting life, the forgiveness of sins, a true child of God, or we are not. One or the other, no middle ground, no in between. And if we're not in Christ and we're not a part of that kingdom, then that is our greatest need. If you're here today and you're not truly in Christ, that's your great need, is to be in Christ, to be a part of this kingdom. And you can be part of this kingdom by turning from sin and coming to Christ and abandoning all hope in yourself and everything but Jesus and what He did for you on the cross, that He took your sin, paid the price for your sin, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day, He defeated it all, and in Him is life everlasting. You turn to Him. You call upon Him and He will give you everlasting life. And so are you His? Are you a part of this kingdom? You need to be. You must be. Or there's no hope but in eternal hell. God has made the way for us through His own Son. Secondly, not only the necessity of the resurrection, but we see the fulfillment of the resurrection. And this really is flowing out of the necessity as well, but let's call it the fulfillment. The resurrection's not only a necessity, has to happen in order for us to inherit the kingdom of God, but also it is the fulfillment of the Word of God. God has decreed it. God has spoken it. God has planned it. God has proclaimed it, and it will take place. Verse 54, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and when this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? So when this happens, when that last trumpet sounds and Christ appears in glory and all those who are His are caught up to meet the Lord in the air, when this happens, then, notice that, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Beloved, this has been written. God has spoken this. God has declared this in the pages of Holy Scripture. This is a quote here from Isaiah 25, verse 8, which says, He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of His people He will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And beloved, we know that when God has spoken something, it is done. When God has declared it, it will be fulfilled. When God has written it, it will be accomplished. It will come to pass. The resurrection is more sure than this present life, this present heavens, this present earth. Because Jesus said heaven and earth will pass away. One day this earth is gone. One day these heavens melting with fervent heat. But the Word of God will by no means pass away. When God says there's a resurrection, When God says there's a new heaven and a new earth, when God says there's an eternal kingdom for those in Christ, and of that kingdom there will be no end, rest assured, it's done. It will happen. It will come to pass. And when all of this takes place and that trumpet sounds and Christ appears and we meet Him up there in His glory, then death is swallowed up in victory. Death will be destroyed. Death will be conquered forever. It will have been defeated. Death will have died. Death will be destroyed. That day's coming when death will be no more. Death will never ring in our ears again. We'll never hear that word. We'll never see it again. The effects of death are gone. We will be with Christ, life everlasting forever. Now we know for now, death is not yet gone. Death is still very much around. It's very much a reality. It's very much an enemy.
It hurts.
It hurts. Death still marches in this world. Death breaks apart homes. Breaks apart marriages. Breaks apart relationships. Death is such a vicious enemy. And as I said earlier, it doesn't respect persons. It doesn't care who you are. It doesn't care how much life left you think you have to live. It doesn't care what you got planned tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. It could care less. It doesn't care how old you are, how young you are, how rich you are, how famous you are. It doesn't care. It's a vicious enemy. And it's still very much alive, and it's still marching. It's still taking lives. But in Christ, we don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear death. Death has been defeated. For those who are in Christ, death is not the end. It seems so final, doesn't it? It seems so final when death comes, a separation. But it's not the end. It is not the end. And if you be in Christ, it is the beginning of eternity in the presence of Christ. And in the end, your body resurrected and a new heaven and a new earth. It is not the end. There is victory in Him. And so when this day comes, and that trumpet sounds, and Christ descends, and we're caught up to meet Him, then death will be swallowed up. Amen. In victory. It will be defeated. Amen. In that day, death is gone. In that day, death is no more. When Jesus comes, death is gone forever. It's gone forever. In verse 55, we even see death taunted. Death is personified, it is made personal, and it is mocked. Notice it. Verse 55 there, this is quoting, by the way, Hosea 13, verse 14. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Where is it at? You think you're so powerful? You think you're so strong? Do you see the taunting there? Where's your victory? Where's your sting? This word sting was used to speak of the stinger of a bee, or sometimes it was literally used to speak of the fangs of a poisonous snake. The sting, the piercing through. When Jesus died on the cross, death plunged its poisonous fangs into Christ. And what did Jesus do? He ripped those fangs out. Ripped the fangs out of the mouth of the serpent. Death was defeated. And Christ bore the sting of death for us, so that death for the Christian, no sting, no power, no power over those who are in Christ. The sting of death for us is gone. Hades, where is your victory? Hades speaks of the grave. And we know that when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, He was buried. He was put in that grave. But on the third day, He came out of the grave. The grave was defeated. The grave has no power anymore. Oh, grave, where's your victory? It's been gone. It's been defeated. It's been destroyed by Christ. Death in the grave, mankind's greatest enemies. Think about it. Death is coming for us. We can push it out of mind. We can try to shove it off, but it's hunting us down, and it will find us, and the grave will take our body. But in Christ Jesus, it's gone. It's defeated. There's victory in Him. There's victory in Him. I tell you, this news ought to be on the news on 10 o'clock and 6 o'clock every night, nonstop on the TV. I mean, this is the news right here. There's power over death, victory over the grave. And what are we talking about on the news and in the world? Stuff that means nothing. This is the message right here. This is the victory we have in Christ. This is our God. This is our Savior. I'm a little excited. It's okay. We need to be. Wake up, amen. The church is asleep. Wake up. Myself included. Wake up. And we see here some powerful truth in verse 56. I do want you to see it. Notice the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Now, what is that talking about? Well, the sting of death is sin. So what is it that brings death? What stings us and brings us to death? Sin. The sting of death is sin. You get stung, you get bit by a poisonous snake, you've got a problem. Listen, you get stung by sin, you've got a problem. Everywhere sin marches, it brings death. There's nowhere there's sin that death isn't right behind it. In sin, always, listen, the most minute, seemingly innocent sin brings the poison of death every time. Now, maybe not instantaneously, just like a snake bite doesn't kill you most often right then. You might suffer for a few days or weeks, and then you're gone. Same thing with sin. The smallest little speck of sin in you brings the fatal blow of death in due time. And then notice, what is it that manifests sin, reveals sin? The strength of sin is the law. The law of God's what that's talking about. Now, no man's exempt from the law of God. You say, what about people in some, you know, remote village, some third world country, and they've never seen a scripture, they've never heard the word of God? God's written His law on their heart, and their conscience bears witness, and everywhere they look in the earth, it declares the glory of God. They're without excuse, Romans 1, aren't they? Their conscience cries out when they do what is wrong, you just did what's wrong. And when they do what's right, their conscience bears testimony, that was good, you did what was right. But even beyond the conscience, there's something that just puts the law and sin right into our face in clear view, doesn't it? And what is that? The Scripture. The Scripture reveals God's law in black and white. God has told us what is right. God has told us what is wrong. And you look at the Scripture, and it's like looking in a mirror, and you see every sinful flaw all over you, in your body, in your mind, in your heart, in your motives, your intents, your life. It's all clearly revealed. The strength of sin is the law. You look at the law of God, and it says sinner, condemned, and sin has poisoned you, and it's bringing death. That's the reality of these verses. And that's the reality for every person. But I want you to look at verse 57. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. For those who are in Christ, the sting of death is now gone. The victory of the grave has been defeated. Thanks be to God. All glory be to God. All praise and honor and blessing and dominion and might be to God Almighty through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have victory. We have victory over our greatest enemies. If we be in Christ, then God has given us the victory over sin, death, and the grave through Jesus. You see, Jesus bore our sin, didn't He? Oh, He went to that cross. He didn't just die. He didn't just die a vicious and humiliating and painful death. No, He stood in our stead. He took our place. He took our sin. He died a substitutionary death. All of my crimes, all of my sin, everything I've done that's offended God, rebelled against God, was taken from me and laid upon Him. And all the wrath and judgment I deserve in an eternal hell was unleashed upon Him instead of me. He's bore my sin, and He's paid the price in full. He's bore your sin and paid the price in full. If you be in Christ, that is your victory. That's your reality. Not only that, but he's died the death that we deserve to die. Those who are in Christ, when they die, they go right into the presence of the Lord. I mean, because death in the Scripture is not just a physical death, it's an eternal death. Spiritual death, born that way, spiritual death, being born in sin and living in sin, produces that physical death. Sin brings forth death. And then death, in the end, if it not be defeated by Christ, ends in an eternal death in hell. But, oh, Jesus took the death that we deserve to die. He died in our place. He died that death. He took the judgment of God, the wrath of God we deserve, so that we could have victory over death. And then he's given us victory over the grave. I mean, it's all been taken care of by Christ. He's taken our sin. He's taken our death, died the death we deserve to die, and then the grave that had him for 3 days. Oh, he was with the Lord. His body was there just temporarily. But then what happened on the third day? He's up out of the grave. He rose from the grave, and so it's all been defeated. And so when that last trumpet sounds and God calls forth those who are in Christ, then death will forever be defeated. Death will forever be destroyed. It will raise its ugly head no more. No more. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. It's as good as done. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, will you be one of those who come forth from the grave at that final trumpet? Will you be one of those who are in Christ and meet the Lord in the air? Is that you? Listen, if not, that's your greatest need. Your greatest need. Now, one last thing I want us to see. The necessity of the resurrection, the fulfillment of the resurrection. Lastly, the effects of the resurrection. Now, since all that powerful truth, these amazing victories that we have in Christ are ours, what should be the result in us? What effect should it have in you and me here and now? Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, who's he speaking to? Christians, those beloved by God, those who are brothers and sisters in Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This word, therefore, is going back to all these powerful truths. Since Christ has defeated death and sin in the grave, since we will be raised in Him, since death has lost its sting, the grave has lost its victory and its power, since all these things are true, if we be in Christ, therefore, because of that, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Be immovable, always abounding in what? The work of the Lord. And all of this knowing your labor's not in vain in the Lord. Three commands, three powerful effects this should have in us right here and right now. Number one, be persevering. Be steadfast, be immovable. This word steadfast means just that. Be settled, be resolved. Be fixed, be firm in your convictions. Know God and Christ. Know the truth of Scripture. Know the truth of Jesus, the truth of salvation, the truth of the gospel. Be fixed in Christ. Don't let anything move you from that. Immovable. It means just that. It is unable to be moved from its place. It is something that has been anchored down to such a secure foundation, it cannot be moved. It can't be tossed to and fro. No matter what comes against it, it stands, it stands, it stands. Be fixed in Christ. Nail your feet to Christ. Be immovable in Christ. I mean, we're living in a day when so many in the church are falling down to the world, bowing down to the world, bowing down to political correctness, Christians, denominations, and God has told us, stand for Christ and don't be moved. I mean, that's where we're to be at. In a world that is coming against God and the truth of God, begging for everyone to bow to them, God says, bow to no one but Christ. Nail your feet there. That's the calling. Immovable. So much more could be said. Be persevering. Secondly, laboring. He goes on to say, always abounding in what? The work of the Lord. Always abounding. We've seen this word again and again, this word abounding. sometimes translated differently, but it speaks of a cup, and you're filling that cup up, and you fill it all the way to the top, but you don't stop. You just keep pouring. You ever seen your child do that? Try to pour milk for the first time, and the cup falls over, and the milk just goes everywhere. That's the picture. Abounding. You fill that cup up, and you let it spill all over the place. Just keep flowing everywhere, pouring out everywhere. This is the word. Be spilling out and overdoing it and spilling all over the place. What? The work of the Lord. What is that work? Well, personally, it's holiness in life, given up and given over to God, being made like Christ. Right? In the work of the church, what is it? What is the work of the Lord? It is to build up the church. It is to use your spiritual gifting. It is to edify one another. It's to exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. I mean, let's urge one another on in Jesus. Let's keep striving after Christ and lifting one another up and praying for one another and urging one another on. You've got it, sister. God's got you. You can do this. He loves you. He's with you. I was thinking about you the other day. I was praying, and you came to my mind, and then a verse of Scripture, and I want to share this verse of Scripture with you. Building one another up. And then what? The spreading of the gospel. I mean, we have the greatest message on the face of the earth. There is victory over death. There's victory over the grave in Jesus Christ. We ought to be shouting it from the housetops. We ought to go up on the top of the roof this afternoon after church and just start shouting that there's victory over death in Jesus. I mean, they might want to put us in the loony bin, but it's really the exact opposite. You're loony if you don't come to Christ. You're loony if you try to live life without Him. You're out of your mind. There's a Savior. He's mighty to save. Abounding in the work of the Lord. You realize this world and the things of this world, they'll all one day be gone. We cling to so much in the world where if we just saw with the eyes of God, so much of what we cling to with all our energies and all our might is ashes in eternity. But the work of the Lord, eternal. You praying, crying out to God, calling on God to tear down strongholds, calling on God to save souls, you getting up from those prayers and building up your brother or sister in the Lord, going to them, praying with them in a time of need, you going out and sharing the gospel, pleading with others to be saved, leading others to Christ, building them up in Christ, that work is eternal. Eternal. And this is our work. Be persevering, be laboring. Lastly, be knowing. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Nothing is more important than this. Is there? Wake up. Josh is doing one of these back there. It's okay. Stretch. Get up and do one of these if you need to. Wake up. Wake up. Let's be alert. Nothing matters more than this. And we know this. We're dull, calloused. We know when we go out these doors, eternal destinies are at stake. Our children, our grandchildren. The only way they'll ever go to heaven and be with God eternally is through the gospel of Jesus Christ, and somebody's got to take it to them. Yes, invite them to church. Plead with them to come to church. Get them in the doors of the church, yes. But a whole lot of them aren't going to come in these doors. What do we do with them? I think we do just what Jesus said. I think we do just what Jesus did. Let's just do what the apostles did. What did they do? They went to every village and city, and what did they do? They preached. They proclaimed. They made known the gospel. That doesn't mean you have to literally preach like I'm doing this morning from a pulpit, but it means you go out there and you engage those who are lost, and you take the word of God to them, the gospel of Jesus Christ that is the power of God and unto salvation. That's the work. And that's what's not in vain. Building one another up. There's no greater work than this. These are the eternal things. When we get to heaven, this is all that's going to matter, that we have expended ourselves, given everything to this. And that is that word labor. It means to exhaust yourself, to expend everything to where you have nothing left to give in what? The work of the Lord. That's how you're to preach. I should be spent when I'm done. That's how you're to serve Him. You should be spent when you're done serving Him that day. Exhausted in the work of the Lord. Knowing what? Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, there's a reward coming. It's eternal in the heavens. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. You know what the next verse says? But God's revealed these things to us. He's spoken them to us, but it's all right here. We've been looking at it. What's coming? This resurrection. This eternal kingdom. He spoke, but we just can't fathom it. One day we will see Him. Can you imagine? You know what I want more than anything else on that day for me? It might sound selfish, but for me, looking inwardly to Christ, faithful. I want to be faithful. I want a loyal heart. Hearts so divided, so many things creep in, so many things distract us. Oh God, make me loyal to You. I want a heart that is given fully to You, nothing else. I want to be faithful. My wife, my children, my grandchildren, all of you, saved. Saved. Oh God, save them. Nothing matters more than that. Give yourself to that work, whatever the cost. Those who are saved, the church of God, the redeemed of God, built up, purified, a bride made holy, a bride made ready for the coming of our Lord, standing, laboring, exhausting ourselves for Him. Oh, that these things would be so. This is what matters. And one day we're going to see Him. And the Bible says His reward is with Him. He says, I'm coming quickly. My reward is with me to give to everyone according to His work. This life is fleeting. The older you get, the more it flees from you. And heaven is coming. And it's coming quickly. And all that we have done in Christ will be rewarded. You give everything to Jesus. You exhaust yourself there, knowing your labor in the Lord is never in vain. It's never for nothing. It's never to no avail. It will always and most certainly be rewarded. I would ask you today, what are you laboring for? What are you spending all your time each day with? Myself included. You know what I see when I look around at a lot of people and even myself? Sitting in a living room. I mean, there's some good that can come from that, but oh my, the subtlety of the chains and deception of that. Just being honest, I'm talking about me and what I see in my own home, things that go on, and elsewhere. We struggle with that, a lot of us do, too much time on that phone. It can become an idol. We worship that thing, serve that thing, give that thing our time, our thoughts, our attention, our focus. Oh my, oh God forbid that. We need to be given to God. There's so many other things that we just go after in this world that in the end they're dust. Ain't anything there. But that now, right here and right now, in light of all this glorious truth, we would give ourselves to what truly is eternal, knowing our labor in God, our labor in the Lord, is never in vain. The old saying is true. Only one life. Soon be passed. Only what you do for Christ will last. That might sink in. Oh, the victory of the resurrection. Man's greatest enemy, sin, death, and the grave. And beloved, we've been given victory over it all through Jesus Christ. Let's stand as we go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. Josh is going to put that up on the screen for us this morning. We'll sing along with that in the words, but I want to encourage you that if you're not where God wants you to be, if He's been speaking to your heart this morning and just saying, look where you are. Look where you've drifted. Look where you need to be. Look where I've called you to be. Then I would just encourage you to come and do business with God and say, God, please forgive me. I've gotten off track, God. My heart's got cold and become calloused, and I've been distracted and entangled. And God, I want to get back to where you've called me to be. God, forgive me. God, cleanse me. God, renew the joy of my salvation. God, restore my fire and my zeal for you and the things of God. Let me ask you this morning, was there ever a time when you had more joy in the Lord than now? Was there ever a time you had more fire and zeal to go after God in prayer and the Word and tell others about Him than you do now? If there was a time when you used to be blazing but you're not now, then you're backslidden and you need to repent. You need to come back and say, oh God, forgive me. And listen, there's mercy there. There's forgiveness there. There's cleansing there. Restoration there. Empowering there at the feet of Jesus. Come to Him. Don't stay where you are if you're not where God's called you to be in any area of your life, in anything. And if you're here today and you're lost, and you know in your heart you're not a part of God's kingdom, you've never bowed the knee to Christ, you've never repented of sin and turned to Jesus, you've never been born again by His power, you know you're not His, you know you don't have everlasting life, then run to Jesus today. Call upon Him. Put your faith in Him. Be done with sin. Just fall at His feet and call upon Him as your only hope of salvation and forgiveness and everlasting life. And He will meet you there and forgive you and cleanse you and redeem you and give you life everlasting. Make you one of His own. Change you by the power of God and the power of His Spirit. Set you on a new path. A new life. Oh, He's mighty to save. If you need to be saved, you come. Father, we thank you today for the power of your word, the power of the victory of Christ and the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, all that we have in Jesus. Oh God, save those who are lost. Oh, bring them to Christ today. And God, those of us who are yours, Father, bring us back to where we need to be and restore our joy and the fire and the zeal and send us out, God, as an army for your name, shouting it from the housetop. Help us to be giving ourselves and living in a manner that is fitting for such a God and such a salvation and such an eternity and a kingdom that you've given us in Christ. Oh God, help us. We need you. We love you. We thank you. We praise you for what you're going to do in us. In Christ's name, amen.